Welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlix.com. PureFlix.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, and welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast. This is Billy Hollowell, and I am excited to be diving into today's show. We have a very, very special guest on. It is Lee Strobel. If you're not familiar with Lee, you need to be. He is the subject of the film The Case for Christ, which you can watch right now over on Pure Flix. He's also the author of The Case for Christ and The Case for Faith, among many other books. His latest book, The Case for Heaven, investigates heaven, the afterlife. Is there evidence? Is there any credibility to near-death experiences? That is what he talks about in that book. But here's the really exciting thing. On April 4th, 5th, and 6th, he will have a movie called The Case for Heaven. It is hitting theaters across America. For those 3 days, you can check that out. And we're going to have him on the show today to talk about that film, to talk about the evidence. Did he find credible evidence for heaven? So with no further ado, let's welcome Lee Strobel to the Pure Flix Podcast.
Lee, how's it going today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How you doing, Billy?
I am doing well, and you've got a lot going on. You have a new documentary coming out, The Case for Heaven, and you've done a lot of case books, and everyone I love them. I can't put them down. You've also had a number of documentaries, but this one is really special because heaven is one of those topics that just captivates people. What was it that made you want to dive into that subject?
Well, I almost died 10 years ago. My wife found me unconscious, called an ambulance. I remember waking up in the emergency room and the doctor looked down at me and said, "You're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying." And then I went unconscious again. So I hovered between life and death for quite a while until the doctors were able to save my life. And that really, that's a very clarifying experience. It really makes you wonder more than ever, what really does happen when we close our eyes for the last time in this world? And as a Christian, I believe what the Bible teaches, but I also have this skeptical streak from my journalism and legal background. And so I decided to do an investigation to see what evidence inside and especially outside the Bible could be brought to bear on the topic of whether we really have an afterlife.
So I want to get into that, but how did that experience in the immediate, because obviously it made you think more about heaven, right? Which is a natural progression from that. How did it change you just in like the days and the weeks and the months that came after that?
Well, it's interesting. Somebody said to me, heaven is like having a vacation on your calendar. And this is what happened to me after that experience. What he meant by that is, let's say you're having a hard time at work and the boss is breathing down your neck. You got a bunch of projects that are due. The workload is heavy. You're kind of depressed about it and so forth. But if you've got a vacation coming up in Maui for 3 weeks and it's going to come in 2 months, you can deal a little better with the present difficulties. And when you know heaven is on your calendar for the future, you don't know when, but you know heaven is on your calendar for the future, it really does help you get through the difficulties and struggles of everyday life. And I found that to be true.
That's a great point. And, you know, like you always do, it led you into investigating, which is what I love. You are, you know, probably my favorite author, honestly. And I'm not just saying that to you. I've told you this before, because what you do, it's, I'm captivated by it, taking something, diving into it, breaking it apart, helping people understand it and finding evidence, which is really important for our faith. So you go through this process. Yeah. And by the way, we're talking about the documentary, which hits theaters April 4th, 5th, and 6th. There's also the book as well, The Case for Heaven. Now, as you were going into making the book, putting the book together, where did you start? How do you even start that process?
Well, you know, what I do is try to look at what evidence is there that would support the biblical description of the afterlife. You know, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told the repentant criminal on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," which means there's really two phases to the afterlife for Christians. The first phase happens after we die and our soul, our spirit, our consciousness separates from our body and stays conscious either in the presence of God or separated from him in Hades, depending on where we stand with God. And then at the end of history, when Jesus returns, then we're reunited with our resurrected body. Then we go through final judgment, and then we spend eternity in a very physical heaven or a very physical hell. And so I needed to know, well, you know, is there any evidence that indeed our consciousness, our spirit, does continue to live on after our clinical death? And so I was a skeptic about near-death experiences. But the more I investigated it, the more convinced I became, because there have been 900 scholarly articles written about near-death experiences in scientific and medical journals over the last 40 years. This is a very well-researched area. And the journal, the Lancet, which is the medical journal in England, carried an analysis that said that all of the alternative explanations for near-death experiences fall short. None of them can fully account for this phenomenon. So what I looked for was corroboration. You know, anybody could say, oh, I died and I met Jesus and he's 5'10" and got a great smile, nice guy. I can't confirm that. I have no idea. But if I could find corroboration, if people could see things or know things or experience things in this out-of-body experience that would be impossible unless it were true, that would be confirming that indeed our spirit does live on. And I found numerous examples of that we have in my book and in the movie. My favorite one involves a woman named Maria who died in the hospital, but she says later, yeah, but my consciousness continued on. My spirit separated from my body. I actually floated near the ceiling of the hospital and watched the resuscitation efforts on my body. And then my spirit floated up and out of the hospital. And then when she was finally revived and came back, her spirit returned to her body and she said, oh, by the way, there's a man's tennis shoe on the roof of the hospital. And it's dark blue, it's left-footed, there's some wear over the little toe, and the shoelace is tucked under the heel. So they go up in the roof of the hospital and they find it exactly as she described it. That's just one of many examples of things that people could not have seen or known unless this out-of-body experience were true. Let me mention one other one. There was a scientific study of 21 blind people, most of them blind since birth. And yet, during their near-death experience, they could see, many of them for the first time. And they describe watching the paramedics trying to revive their bodies. They saw people, they saw plants, they saw birds and so forth. And then, when they did finally come back, they lost their sight again. As one medical researcher said, this is medically impossible. So those are just a couple of examples. But, Bill, let me add one other thing. I interviewed for the book and for the movie John Burke. John is a New York Times bestselling author. He's a pastor, actually a friend of mine for the last 40 years. And he has researched 1,000 cases of near-death experiences. And his conclusion is, if you look at what actually takes place in the typical near-death experience, not how it's interpreted by the person that goes through it, but what actually takes place, it is consistent with Christian theology. That was a big breakthrough for me.
Well, I mean, there's so many people, they react so negatively to these things, right? I think it's a natural response where you were on it to say, I don't really know what I think about this. I don't really know if there's a lot of evidence. Then when you start to dig in, I mean, you're talking about hundreds of documented cases and research and science behind this. Yes. And when you look at some of the polling, there haven't been questions asked in a while now, but there was a point where a good chunk, a substantial proportion of the country reported either having one of these experiences or knowing somebody who did. Yes. That's really compelling. And you mentioned, I mean, how else would she have seen the shoe on the roof of a hospital? She had never been on the roof. How does somebody explain that? I mean, I don't know. I'll throw that to you, but how?
There was another woman who died. Actually, she bled to death after an abortion. And she was taken to the emergency room. She died in the emergency room. And yet she said, my spirit separated. I watched the resuscitation efforts from above. And then when she was revived, she said, by the way, on the ceiling fan here in the emergency room, on the top part of the ceiling fan that you can't see from the, you know, from the room, but on the top part, there's a red sticker. So they got a ladder and they looked up there. And sure enough, just as she described it, there was this red sticker that she could not have seen from her position on the gurney in the emergency room. So these are just a few examples. There was another example of a 7-year-old girl who drowned. She had zero brain waves. She didn't breathe for 20 minutes. She was clinically dead at the time. She later did survive and come back. But during the time that she was clinically dead, they were keeping her body alive in the hospital. And she said, yeah, but I was awake the whole time. She said, one night when my parents visited me, I followed them home. And she was able to describe what they were wearing, what they had for dinner that night, what toys her brother and sister were playing with, and what room they were in, where her father sat on the couch. I mean, things that she could not have known unless she authentically had an out-of-body experience.
So people go to the theater, they watch this, right? Yeah. Coming up here, April 4th, 5th, and 6th. When they go to see it, when they're done, when the curtain closes, what are you hoping that they're taking away from it?
Well, you use the word I would use, which is hope. You know, I hope they experience hope. I hope they walk away saying there is more than this world. There is a world to come, and it is more vibrant. It is more exciting. It is more adventurous. It is more creative. It is more wonderful than this world that I'm currently in. And I hope that for believers, it deepens their faith and makes them long even more for heaven. And I hope for people who aren't Christians that they begin to take seriously what the Bible teaches about heaven and about hell. Because we have an experience in the film, interview with Howard Storm, an atheist who experienced hell when he had his near-death experience and called out to Jesus, and Jesus rescued him. So powerful was this to him that he, when he recovered, he not only renounced his atheism and became a Christian, he became an ordained minister and is now the pastor of a little rural church to this day. So, you know, these are life-changing experiences for people who have gone through them. And I hope people walk out of the movie saying, you know what, maybe my life should change as well.
Yeah, people don't always talk about the hell stories, right? The heaven stories get a lot more attention, obviously, but that is really interesting. And I know one of the debates, you know, is God giving people these images of it, or are they actually visiting it? I don't know if you have any insight on that or thought on it, but that's an interesting part of the debate.
It is. And, you know, I think there's a lot we don't know about these experiences, but it's very real to the people who go through them. I mean, a lot of people who go through the hellish experience don't want to talk about it. They have post-traumatic stress. I mean, Howard Storm said this was worse than any horror movie has ever been filmed. He said, I was reduced to roadkill by these demons. And it really affected him and changed his life. I think there's a lot of people, too, who have a hellish experience who suppress it. They don't want to remember it, and they would rather not dredge it up once more. And it's embarrassing to say, "Oh yeah, I died. I went to hell."
Right. So even the heaven stories are hard for people to. I mean, we know you know this. It's hard sometimes interviewing people, and you and I have interviewed a lot of people who have gone through these things. There are people who sometimes won't publicly talk about certain experiences because they're afraid of that ridicule.
The ridicule and so forth. And that's why one of the things that John Burke did, and when he did his research and wrote a book called Imagine Heaven, is he only interviewed people that had nothing to gain by talking about this. These are airline pilots, they're bank presidents, they're respected members of the community who, you know, are risking ridicule and a loss of credibility because a lot of people say, you're nuts. You couldn't have experienced that.
Right.
And that's why I focus on only those cases where there's corroboration. But Billy, you'd be surprised how many cases those are, including people who not only were declared dead, they're being wheeled to the morgue. And yet they revive and are able to describe the jokes that the doctors told in the emergency room when they were trying to revive them to try to release the tension in the room and what ties they were wearing and so forth. Things they could not have known because they were clinically dead.
All right. So last question for you. This is coming at an interesting time. There's war. I mean, there's always chaos in the world, but it does feel like right now the chaos is very heavy. And, you know, why do you think that this time, you know, God does everything for a reason. You came to this project, put the book out. Now the film is here. You know, speak a little bit about the time we're in and how you think that might spark interest in this.
Well, in God's timing, you know, the book came out just during the pandemic, as the pandemic was kind of beginning to wrap up. And, you know, 29% of Americans know someone who's died during the pandemic. My brother died during the pandemic. And so, we have a lot of people who are thinking about death who wouldn't normally. Like Leslie and I were at a restaurant and the waitress started to cry. And we said, what's wrong? And she said, I'm sorry. I almost didn't come into work today. We lost a family member to COVID. And you could see the anxiety and apprehension in her eyes. She's 18 years old or so. She probably never thought about death. Why? She's a kid. She's a youngster. Right. She's a teenager. Why should she think about it? But now death has come knocking on her family's door. Now she wants to know. Now she's concerned. So I think in God's timing, this is an opportunity for people to get some assurance that what the Bible talks about in terms of an afterlife is confirmed by neuroscience, by the existence of the soul, by near-death experiences and so forth, and is credible and should be believed.
Well, Lee, thank you so much. As always, the film is The Case for Heaven. It's thecaseforheavenmovie.com. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. God bless you, Billy.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
That was Lee Strobel talking about The Case for Heaven, a new documentary that hits theaters April 4th, 5th, and 6th. If you want to know more about Lee, head over to PureFlix and watch The Case for Christ. It's an amazing look at his life. He was an atheist journalist who went on a journey to basically debunk the Bible and ended up becoming a Christian. His latest film, it's a documentary, The Case for Heaven, again, hits theaters this upcoming week. You want to check that out. If you want more information on The Case for Heaven, head over to thecaseforheavenmovie.com. That's thecaseforheavenmovie.com. And be sure to also head over to insider.pureflix.com for more daily inspiring content. We've got great blog content over there, and you can find so much more over on our social handles. It's PureFlix. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we will see you next week for another episode of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the Pure Flix Podcast.